to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. Good to be here. Another controversial topic.
This one might be a little bit. So, as Christians, we share a common confession in the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You know, Scripture doesn't put the Holy Spirit in the forefront of activity too much, because he serves to exalt the Father and the Son. But in the active, vibrant Christian life, the Holy Spirit has a very prominent place. And we sometimes run into Christians that we wonder if we acknowledge your salvation, but we wonder, are you in full relationship with the Holy Spirit? So,
We
wonder that because the Holy Spirit has a lot to offer to those who would like to have the fullness of his presence in their lives. And so, Shane, as we dig into this topic, what are your thoughts about being open to what the Spirit has to offer?
Well, I'm going to hopefully hit a lot of topics within this one topic, but I want to recommend a book. I just pulled it from the bookshelf. The title is They Found the Secret. They Found the Secret, 20 Transformed Lives That Reveal a Touch of Eternity. And basically, it's people like John Bunyan, Amy Carmichael, Oswald Chambers, Charles Finney, Adoniah Judson, D.L. Moody, Andrew Murray. You get the idea. It is a book of people who received what people call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a mighty filling of the Holy Spirit, an exchanged life by the Holy Spirit, a power-filled life by the Holy Spirit. They receive this after conversion, sometimes years after conversion. So we're going to touch on that a little bit as well. We have in the past briefly. I think we did a podcast more along those lines. But this one is more about how to be open for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or something along those lines. Well, first, there's two camps we know. One camp believes that the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you can find outlined primarily for 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 are good places to go, that those gifts are no longer needed, those being the miraculous, the sign gifts, the speaking in tongues, prophetic word, words of wisdom, and a healing, gift of healing. And it's interesting because you don't see people just walking around into hospitals, boom, 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 healing like Jesus did, or even Paul. You don't see that. Now, we're in America, of course, and people do see a lot of healing on the mission field. I've got books at home that are incredible stories of God healing, raising people from the dead. I don't think all these people are lying. I think, I think that those gifts are still valid today. A word of wisdom would be something that somebody gives you to give somebody else that God brings to your mind to share with them. Speaking in tongues, I did a whole sermon on this. You can find on our website at westsidechristianfellowship.org under, if you put in tongues, it'll probably come up. There's an hour on exhausting this issue of tongues and what it is and how it works and what the Bible talks about. So we're not really hitting on all of those. What we're talking about is, how can a person be open? And the reason I wanted to bring this up, and I want to actually share this with our church, is, and I think I've shared an email or two with Luke and a few others, but God has been doing some pretty amazing things here at the church. Without getting into names and details, I would say in the last couple months that I know of personally, probably two dozen people have received this powerful work of the Holy Spirit. One lady I just called yesterday, she said it's incredible. God just met her. She was worshiping God and praying and confessing and started speaking in tongues. So again, I don't interpret experiences. I don't interpret the Bible based on experiences, but I interpret experiences based on what the Bible says. Paul experienced it. It's taught in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, expounded upon. So I would view it as a valid gift. I've talked about it before that I was silent on this for about 18 years, and I finally confessed about when the Holy Spirit fell on me and how that transformed my life and this gift of tongues and what that meant to me. So anyway, people are being transformed here at the church. Families, couples, and I've talked to half dozen of them. I just talked to the one yesterday. So what is happening? Well, I don't want to mention her name or anyone's name in case, because I didn't get permission. But we have a lady here that's been able to spend a lot of time with people. And what I mean by that is sitting down with them for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. I just met, another person today, a Hispanic gentleman, mainly speaks Spanish. He was hard. He was physically abusive to his family. And he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues on the east side. And I just ran into him today. And so these people aren't being pushed into it. They're not being manipulated. It's just coming naturally. I should clarify, when I use the term baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I look at the Bible, when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into the body of Christ as believers. That's how the scripture pulls it apart or talks about it. We are baptized, which is baptismo, overwhelmed. We are immersed as believers into the body of Christ. So some people use that term, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you received your baptism of the Holy Spirit? They would ask preachers, have you received your baptism of fire, this overwhelming presence of God? So I'm not sure what you want to call it, other than I call it a mighty filling of the Holy Spirit that is life-changing. Basically, you go from dead Christianity going through the motions to living, vibrant Christianity. So back to the topic, a person really has to be open for it in order for it to work. In my life, I didn't have somebody taking it through me in steps. And what happens when you take someone through the process of being fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit is you go through deep repentance. Is there sin in your life? Is there unconfessed sin? Is there strongholds and bondages? And you're crying out to God and you're praying. And I think that's what happened in the upper room in Acts. So it takes just some struggling and some getting to a point of fully surrendering. So I didn't have someone to meet with me. God met with me. It was very early in the morning in Quartz Hill, California. Still remember the street and the address of the house. God had taken everything out of me. Finances, I was demoted at work. I just found out my wife was in an affair. My ex-wife, I'm remarried now. We believe that there's biblical grounds, and this is going back in the 1990s. People can watch that online as well. And just saying that statement, I'm going to get negative emails saying I need to repent and I shouldn't be married. I should have stayed single. So that'll be another topic. Maybe we should talk about that one, which is absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, let's get back on track. So I had lost everything. I'm completely broken before God. And that's when I cried out, God, you have everything. I just surrendered everything, my pride, my ego. I didn't care anymore. I just wanted God. And that's when the Holy Spirit filled me. And from that day forward, now the Bible comes alive. I'm wanting to read Christian. I've never read books. You would ask me, I don't read books. I look at magazines. I would never. Now I've read thousands of books. I've got a huge library. And so that the Bible comes alive, worship comes alive. So everything changed, but I was a Christian. So what happened? I had a powerful, life-changing, life-altering experience with the Holy Spirit. I don't think I could preach without it. I could talk, I could, you know, discourse. I'm sure I could expound on theology, but I wouldn't have that of a deep, abiding passion and anointing and unction from the Holy Spirit. So to answer the question here, a person has to position themselves correctly. They have to be open. They have to do business with God. They have to read the Bible and say, well, tongues probably is for today. The gifts are for today. Holy Spirit, I want it. Whatever you want for me. I have doubt. God, I don't know what to believe. Would you show me? And if you come at that angle, I think God will show you. I think God will meet a sincere seeker. It's because many people have doubts. They think tongues is weird. Let's be honest. They think it's what doesn't make any sense. But Paul actually said he speaks in tongues more than anyone. He also said that we don't pray to man. We're praying to God as we're speaking in tongues. We don't edify. Men aren't edified, but we edify ourselves. He breaks it down in 1 Corinthians that it's a man praying unto God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But this isn't really on tongues. This is on the fullness of the Spirit. So that's what I think many people are caught at, is this fully surrendered life. So I can name family after family after family after person after person after person that I've talked to that has received this experience here at the church in the last few months. And they all got to a point of full surrender. They confessed things that were deep in within them, maybe past sins, maybe deep repentance and confession need to take place. So it's a beautiful thing. So that's what really a person has to do. If they want the fullness of the Spirit, they have to be open for it. they have to empty themselves of self, because you know, knowledge puffs up. And I think there's a lot of Christians that are preventing that work of the Spirit because of pride. You know, I've got it. I don't need it. I'm pretty good. There's a difference between a good teacher, the Word of God, and a Spirit-filled person filled with the Spirit of God. A big difference. D.L. Moody used to say, why can't they see that they are good teachers, good men, good teachers, but the one thing they lack is the power, the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones actually spent a whole chapter on this in his book, Preachers and Preaching. The Demonstration of Power, I believe, is the last chapter in his book. And he rebuked Reformed churches. He rebuked conservative churches for not being open to the work of the Spirit. And you're not going to see revival in a person in a church that isn't open to the works of the Spirit. We have so many people that go to conservative churches and they come here and they say the conservative churches many times are dead. You know, they have a sermon, they do a quick song, and then they head to lunch. There's just no fire. There's no passion for a deeper experience with God. And people used to get in trouble as far as they would be called the mystics, like A.W. Tozer, Leonard Ravenhill. They would talk about this deeper life. And I believe there is a deeper life. I believe a lot of Christians live on the shallows or in the shallows. And there's a deeper life where you have hours of prayer. People say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, to me, when I have extended times of prayer, a lot of that is worship. A lot of that is reflection. A lot of that is meditation. A lot of that is just being open to what God wants to correct in my own life. So that would be the thought of the day, I think, on this topic, is you have to approach this without doubt. If you do have doubt, then you tell God, I have doubt. I want to believe. I want all that you have for me. This stuff that I read and I see, it could be for today, but I see weird people acting strange. I don't want that, God. I want you. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of God breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and worshiping. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon a person in a powerful way. It doesn't mean he doesn't already have them as a believer. But even Jesus, you know, when he returned in the power of the Spirit came upon Jesus. The Spirit came upon Peter. The Holy Spirit came upon Paul. And the Holy Spirit came upon Shane Eidelman in 1999, 2000. Before that, I was just kind of a nominal Christian. So I think that kind of helps to answer some of the questions out there. Maybe you could frame it in a different way, or even ask maybe a question that people might have on this.
Well, the way I've kind of thought about, you know, and there's a lot of verbiage and surrounding this issue, and I think there's a lot of people that acknowledge a Spirit-filled believer when they see one.
Right.
I think your background will influence the language that you use to describe
what you experience.
What you see in a person or what you experience yourself. But I think a way that has always helped me kind of make sense of how to be in a position of receiving the fullness of what the Spirit has to offer for you is to understand the relational component of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's easy to forget based off the language that we use to describe the Trinity. Sometimes it's easy to forget about the personhood of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's true.
And we have to remember that the Holy Spirit is just as much a person as the Father and the Son. And because he is the person that actually takes up residence within us, I guess you could make the argument that we probably have the most intimacy with the Holy Spirit as opposed of the three
For
persons
sure.
of the Trinity within the limits of each of their personhoods.
Right.
We probably have the most intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and because he's relational, it's like any other relationship.
Quench and grieve.
With a best friend, with a spouse, with a pastor or an elder, with a child, that if you act in certain ways, it doesn't necessarily disqualify you from the relationship that you have with that other person, but it can influence the quality. You know, if any married person that's listening to this will know that, well, if you treat your spouse with one type of attitude, mm-hmm. you'll get a certain response, versus if you meet them with a different attitude, you will
True.
Get a different response. And I think that what we can come to appreciate about receiving what the Holy Spirit has in distributing the gifts that he has for his people, can make a lot of sense to a lot of people if we frame it in that type of an understanding. At least it has for me.
Yeah.
And so I think that what you have in common, regardless of the background of the person that's trying to describe the experience, is that when the person is stepping out in faith and repentance and confession and stuff, these are all acts that are investments into the relationship with the Holy Spirit. And
right.
The Holy Spirit, I believe, is faithful to meet those, and that's often what happens. I've used the phrase before, a mountaintop in sanctification, you know. But you have these peaks in the Christian life where you're going before Him and you're saying, Lord, because we call the Holy Spirit Lord as much as we call the Father or the Son Lord. We say, Lord, we've done these things that are unacceptable in Your sight, and we want to stop doing that, and we ask for Your forgiveness and help us to repent. And he's a good giver of the gifts that He possesses. And I think that when we come before Him with that type of an attitude, He's faithful to distribute what
He has
to offer to us in His will.
And you know, Luke, that's a good point, because when Paul says, "Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit," there's a contrast there. What's controlling you? You know, and I think what has done a lot of harm is Christian TV, you know, and YouTube, and they see people acting weird and like, oh, I don't want that. Well, remember, for every original, there's a counterfeit. If you want to know someone who's had this overwhelming empowerment of the Holy Spirit, if you want to call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit, without a shadow of a doubt, there's boldness. There's boldness to preach the gospel. I just stood up this morning at a very difficult memorial service. The families really didn't want me to, some of the members didn't want me to go into any type of theology. You had Jehovah's Witnesses there, the Catholics, atheists, and the room was packed and people out in the foyer. But I can tell you, I didn't have much fear at all. I preach the gospel. I preach Christ, the only way, the only truth. I could tell by the looks at people's faces that it was going over like a pregnant pole vaulter. So I don't know how I thought of that. That's very interesting.
That's a new one. I've heard of a pregnant pole vaulter.
Can you picture that? That wouldn't work too good. So, but that boldness for the gospel, the boldness for others, and I didn't have that in my 20s. I was ashamed to be a Christian. I would kind of keep it silent. You know, it's cool to drink beer and beat up people and lift weights. You know, that's what real guys do. So boldness is somebody bold, not weird. Are they bold? But also, I believe that the fruit of the Spirit will be magnified. These people will be people of love and gentleness and grace and mercy and holding to truth and passionate and long-suffering and gentle and have self-control. The fruit will be very evident. So if you want to know, so somebody's running around the church, patting people on the back and acting weird and just increasing the volume and thinking they're under the power of the Holy Spirit, that could just be false fire. You know, somebody will be bold. Actually, they'll have self-control. They'll be bold. They'll have tremendous love and joy. They'll break for people. They'll weep over people. Like Leonard Ravenhill said, they weep before they whip. There's a compassion. There's a gentleness. So you see all the fruit of the Spirit. And you see the fullness of boldness. And that's a person filled with the Spirit of God. So if a person lacks those things, I would really question, are they truly filled with God's Spirit? Also, what you will definitely see without a shadow of a doubt across the board, without any doubt in my mind, is a call to holiness and purity. You will not see someone filled with God's Spirit who can sit through junky entertainment, who can sit through movies, pornography, whatever it is, and just ungodly filth and enjoy it. Those Christians that do, they're not filled with God's Spirit. And I know there's so many Christians, like when they just loved when Harry Potter came out and movies on vampires and witches and the occult Twilight and what's in Game of Thrones. And if that stuff enjoys, if you enjoy that and you can have porn in your home, you can have cursing, you can have where the occult and magic and witchcraft is glorified, you're not filled with God's Spirit, because there's a repulsion that takes place. You desire holiness. Now, with that said, my kids sometimes put on things. I don't know if there's Barbie casting spells. It's like, you guys, this is not good. We don't need to watch Barbie casting spells. Why is this wrong? You know, so, but if you watch you're going to find stuff that, that in my home, that it's not going to hit the the legalistic chart. The legalists or the Pharisee will find something because it's constant bombardment. You know, they put on YouTube, it's going great. And then here comes this weird video. It's like, oh man, guys, come on, let's just find something else. So we actually turn stuff off more than on. People have recommended movies before. I don't even know where to start. Jumanji or something like that. The Rock is in it, you know, and Jumanji, start watching it and they cuss and they make some statements about transgender. It's like, see, this is just not, this is, my heart breaks for it. And you try to explain to the kids, and somebody recommended The Best Show, or the Best Show on Earth. It's about a circus. So Christians recommend all these movies. So I watch, I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, it's probably not a movie I'd recommend, but you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. So anyway, the whole point of that was, there's a call to purity. There's a call to holiness. Something does break in my heart sometimes for some of these movies, some of these programs. And you might catch me watching one of these programs, like I just mentioned, or a movie. We just wanted to walk in, kids wanted to watch Spider-Man. I don't know. Did you go see that too? You might have saw that.
I haven't seen
different
that.
One. So I go in there and like I'm expecting, you know, whatever. But the trailers leading up to it were just terrible. I was ashamed that I brought my kids in to watch the trailers. And the movie overall, there's a couple things in there. I mean, you know, they play it out like to where he accidentally might have had sex with this older woman. He's only 16. I mean, that's just wrong. But I'm not going to get up necessarily and walk out and grab and request my money back. Maybe some people would. Maybe I'm wrong in that. I don't know. But I try to point out to the kids, like, here's a couple things in that. Here's how Hollywood tilts the truth. Because your kids won't necessarily see it, but I can see it. So it's also a good learning experience. So we don't really watch a lot of movies. I don't know how this changed the whole topic now in entertainment, but my point was, there's a call to a deeper life. One of the ladies that just received the fullness of the Spirit 2 days ago, and it's amazing. Her entertainment choices, she's like, I was going to do this, you know, for my kids, but I want to do this now. And see, that's what I mean. Everything changes. So as a believer, you can have the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't have all of you. You've quenched him. You've grieved him by sin, by disobedience, by rebellion, by lukewarmness, by not wanting more of God. And he is just sitting there like a fire, like a little coals, little embers that are still burning. You put some gasoline on that fire and the whole place, the whole warmth of that living room will just take over your entire life. And you just want to live for God. You want to die for God, because now you're filled with the Spirit of God. Looking back, Luke, I'll be honest with you. I praise God that he called me. I regret that I didn't have this at 12 years old, though. I wish I waited till I was 30 almost. But I can't imagine living all of my life as a nominal Christian, dying as a nominal Christian, never doing much for God, never leading my children in passionate prayer, never making hard choices for God, never standing up for the truth in our culture, never making a difference in the political arena, just sitting back, earning money so I could retire and live a nominal Christian life that affects no one and leaves no legacy. So, man, I praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, that's what the church needs. That's what the church in America needs. And that's why I often say Joel Osteen's sermons aren't going to cut it. Andy Stanley's sermons aren't going to cut it. Steve Furnick's sermons aren't going to cut it. We need men filled with the Spirit of God to pierce our hearts and get our nation to repent again and to get back the fear of God in our churches.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed this episode of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to send us another topic for something else that you would like to hear on this podcast. Shoot us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com, and we will set aside an episode to talk about it. My name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Join us again on the next episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality and Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as answers for a confused church and desperate for more of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.